Welcome to the What Laura Likes podcast. Here we strive to reach heaven through the vocation of marriage. In today's podcast, you will hear my husband Ryan and I discuss his vasectomy reversal. While we have always been Catholic, we made the grave mistake of getting a vasectomy in 2014 and thankfully reversed it in October 2020. It has been 1.5 years since then, and while God has not blessed us with another child, we are both incredibly happy that we have righted this wrong and hope that this talk will encourage other couples to also correct their mistake, or even better, not go through with sterilization in the first place. Sterilization is a grave sin and not part of God's design. If you like what you hear, you can find out more about me at whatlauralikes.com, and you can hear from Ryan directly at his YouTube channel, Reclaiming the Sword, a channel dedicated to helping Catholic men reclaim their roles as providers and protectors. And now, on with the show. Hey guys, Laura here from What Laura Likes. Welcome back to the channel. If you're new, welcome. Today we are going to be talking about the vasectomy reversal that Ryan had back in October 6, 2020. And I'm going to be interviewing him. I wanted to do this video because originally I talked about why we got the reversal, the huge mistake of getting a vasectomy in the first place, but we hadn't gone through it yet. And now it's been 1.5 years. And no, God has not blessed us with a child yet, but it was still, in our opinion, very worth it to go through the reversal. And so I wanted to give you some of those details that I know some of you have actually asked me about over the past 1.5 years. And hopefully this is an encouragement for men to, one, not make the mistake that we did, but two, if you have had a vasectomy, to understand that reversal is a very real option and a beautiful one. So Ryan, just starting off, I can't even. Are you glad today that you had the reversal?
Well, first of all, Laura, thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Okay, so today, are you glad that you had the reversal done?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
You can tell the people.
This seems like a one-word answer. Okay. Yes, I am.
Okay, so he's glad. So let's move on. Okay.
You want me?
No, it's fine. That's fine. Why don't you talk a bit about the procedure, but not the gory details. Generally. Don't scare men, but just, you know, talk about like what it was like to get the reversal.
Well, it's... I think it's just a little bit more painful than getting it done.
Okay.
All right. And the recovery is just a little bit longer, and you're a little bit more sore than you would be getting it snipped in the first place. Okay. Getting it put back together is a little bit more. If you already have had one, you already know it's not even that big of a deal. So just a little bit more to get right with God.
Yeah.
Really, it's nothing at all.
You said you called it like getting right with God. Like, how did you feel when you first got the vasectomy? And we weren't in the same place with our faith. But, you know, I know you've talked a little bit about that. So let's go like into like a little bit how you felt when you first got the vasectomy and maybe a little bit of justifications or whatever you feel he needs to share. But then how do you feel now having it reversed?
Okay. So long story. Try to shorten it up.
Okay.
All right.
And take your time.
What do you mean? The reasons for getting it in the first place for me was completely selfish.
Okay.
Is what it was. I was like, I don't want to have any more kids. Done. Mm-hmm. Made my decision. I want to be able to have sex without any other consequences all the time, whenever I want. Done. That was it. It was completely selfish. It was worldly and very much influenced by other people that I worked with that had it done.
Yeah.
And, they convinced me, and I was just like, okay, that's what I want to do. It sounds easy. Let's do it. And then we don't have to worry about kids. I don't want to have any more kids. I want them to be out of the house by the time I'm whatever age. And I don't want to have to keep feeding more mouths. It was completely selfish.
Okay.
I had no idea how the church felt about it.
Yeah.
I had no idea if it was even a church teaching. And even at the time, I'm not even sure if I would have cared. I probably would have just done what a lot of people do. It's like, well, that's not my Catholicism.
Yeah, we were picking and choosing at that point. So,
yeah, it was completely selfish reason. This is why I did it.
Okay. Okay. So before, I mean, I could add some comments to that,
so
because
just follow up with more questions.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say I could add more comments to that, but I'm going to keep having Ryan talk. But from my point of view, it was not completely selfish because we had some complications with our pregnancies and there were other factors that were involved. Otherwise,
yeah,
I would have put up a bigger fight.
All right, that's true. I forgot about that. I always forget about that because I think the other reasons at the time, my selfish reasons, were my bigger priority reasons.
Okay. Because I was
coming truly down at the bottom of my heart, I would have taken the chances had I been not stupid. But it was completely driven by the world.
Okay. Yeah, because it was like health and finance were kind of the bigger thing, like on my heart. But still, it was wrong, like I said in the other video. So obviously you've had the reversal. So what has changed between now and
what brought me to wanting to have it reversed?
Yeah, other than prayer, because I prayed to St. Joseph. I'm not joking.
Right. I don't remember how many years went by. Too many, to say the least. I mean, I think it was 7 years before it finally got reversed.
It was six.
6 years before it finally got reversed. And it was kind of a slow-going nag that was always at the back of my mind. It was always kind of weighing at my heart. After it was all said and done, just got to do whatever I wanted and when I wanted with you and me. after all that, it's like being in a candy store and you get to try all the candy you want, and sooner or later, it's like all the candy is just the same. It's just candy, you know. And it's like I don't need to keep trying all the candy I want. You know, it was just trying to please myself. You know, and then you start to kind of think about, you know, what is it that I really just did? And it's always kind of weighing in your heart a little bit. Subconsciously, it's just there. But, you know, I suppressed it. I ignored it as long as I could. But through your prayer and through just being, trying to be a better Catholic and know my faith better, and that kind of opening up the doorways for me to really self-reflect on decisions that I've made, it just started to get something that was heavier and heavier and heavier on the heart. I think it was sometime after we got back into the military after that short period out, it really started to weigh me down a little bit, was that I cut us off from being able to bring more joy and life into the world. And I didn't do it because it was something that was pleasing or holy or even right. It was just, I did it for me, and that was stupid and selfish.
So I remember, like, I was praying and I was telling Ryan, you know, like, I really want our child. I'm really heartbroken, as I've said in another video, you know, about us not being able to have more children. I went to confession and just was like, oh my gosh, what did we do? He wasn't there yet. But over the course of like about a year and a half, of like lots of prayer and talking with him and crying a lot, he's like, I'm just so tired of you crying. And I was like, but you know, like, I want more children, and like, we can't. And it's heartbreaking. And so I think, like you were saying, it was kind of nagging at you. And then you finally,
well, I forgot about that. I forgot about all the conversations that we had. And that also was something that also started to weigh heavily on me and affect me. I don't remember any aha moment or anything like that. It was just like, Enough's enough. Stop pretending that you didn't do wrong. Pretending that you didn't just sterilize yourself and cut off God's design, because that's really all it was. It was just us guys. We'll lie to ourselves to tell ourselves that we're doing good and that we're doing it for right reasons. Mm-hmm. And so just stop lying to yourself, Ryan, is all I was just telling myself. And so it just got to a point where it's like, I started looking into it on my own, what it would take and stuff like that. Is it possible after so long and this and that? And I finally just said, yeah, we're going to do it, because it was like, stop being scared. It was the other thing. It's like, having an inner child is always scary no matter what. And that was the other thing. It was like, stop being such a baby and stop being scared. You've had two kids. They're not that hard.
Yeah.
You can have another one. It's like, you always talk about wanting to have like 8 kids, and we know some families have 8 kids. And
yeah,
I tell you, I don't want to have that many, but if that's the way it's got to be.
Well, I don't think, based on my age and just, so far, probably not going to end up with 8 kids.
Just,
but,
you know, sitting in their house for a few minutes, I'm just like, gosh, there's a lot going on around here. It's just shock. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, so it just got to a point where it's like, I had to self-reflect, like, okay, am I being a man right now? Am I being a husband? Mm-hmm. Am I being courageous? Am I being brave? Am I being upstanding and true? Not just to you, but also to God's intentions? And the answer was no.
Yeah.
So it was, okay, cowboy up. Stop being such a little baby. Mm-hmm. And keep language clean for your channel. And be a freaking man.
Yeah.
This is not it. Sterilizing myself was just like, always kind of felt like something was missing a little bit. And it was because I cut off a piece of my manhood for myself.
Yeah.
And I thought it was more manly just to be able to have sex whenever I wanted without consequences. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah.
And so as time went on, it was just that became more and more of a reality. It was just like, okay, it's time for this to be put back together.
The other thing I wanted to share was that as a wife, he knew I wanted him to get the reversal. But because there was like, for us, there was like, I guess because of an unknown, I wouldn't say this is really an issue at all, but I was worried something might happen to him physically from getting the reversal because it's such a delicate area. I was like, I can't make you or guilt you into having this really intimate surgery. It had to be him. And that's why I turned to St. Joseph, who's his patron saint. And it took about 4 months from ending the novena to Ryan being in the car the weekend before he left for Korea saying, I'm going to get the reversal. And we were on the way to church. And I was like, I know you are, because I pray to St. Joseph. That's what those kind of prayers that have that much confidence behind them do.
Yeah, I think you laughed at me and said that.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I know. Fortunately, it took about a year and a half later to finally get it done.
After it was all said and done, and after the 3 day laying on my backside, just recovering, being a little baby about it.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
You know, because I had a tube coming down.
I remember. Scroll. Yes.
Once everything was back to normal and everything's working properly and all that stuff, it just, and then when we came together for the first time, it was just like a whole renewing experience.
Yeah.
It wasn't like before when I had it snipped and then I recover and we come together. It was completely different from that. That was just physically pleasuring only.
Yeah. I mean, we still saw it as bonding.
No, but of course. Yeah, but this was on a different level.
Yeah.
Not only was it, you know, the physical pleasure was there, of course, but the spiritual bonding between us was like tenfold.
Yeah.
More noticeable than it had been before. It was like something was just missing between us intimately. Mm-hmm. And it was just like renewed and put back. And I had no idea that was even gone.
Yeah.
Kind of like when you take something that you enjoy out of your life and you completely forget what it's even like.
Yeah.
And then you put it back in and you're like, oh man, I forgot how good chocolate is or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever you want. And that's what it was like.
Yeah.
So it was like that thing that was missing. I couldn't tell what it was for so long. Mm-hmm. And then finally just kicking myself in the ass and saying, stop being such a little baby and go get it done. Yeah. You're a man up. And I go and reinsert that into my life. And all of a sudden, it's like there all this stuff in our marriage, in the intimacy part of our marriage that was missing. I had no freaking idea. It was gone.
Yeah.
When it was put back in there, it was like being remarried again, you know, and stuff like that. I just fulfilled a role as a man after intimacy.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it was just, I just fulfilled myself.
Mm. Yeah. And I think for me, it was like, because we had used birth control in the past. And so the only time we had truly been open to life is when we were like, oh, we want to have a baby. And each kid took about 3 months to conceive. And so that those 3 months were like the only times we were truly like living like true Catholic marriage. And so when you got it reversed and we both understood the church teaching fully, for me, it was just like, this is like the best ever.
Yeah.
Because we were finally open to life in the way that the church teaches in her wisdom and in rightly order with God. And that, like theology of the body explains, you know, it's not just you and your spouse having a good time. Like God is involved in our intimacy. He's involved in all aspects of our marriage, including in the bedroom. And getting your head wrapped around that, I mean, it's weird at first, but it's like, it was just so prevalent because we had lived wrong before and we've gone through this huge change in order to live right with God. And for our marriage, it was huge.
That was something else, was getting right with the teachings of the church about intimacy and what do you call this? And the birth control and all that stuff. Getting right.
Like the moral teachings?
Yeah. Getting right with the moral teachings.
Yeah.
Also was played a big role in that spiritual intimacy between you and me. Like you were just saying, because God's involved in that spiritual intimacy in a marriage.
Yeah.
So when I look back now at how I suppressed everything because I was just allowing myself to be convinced by the world and not be convinced by the church.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when you know that there's an answer, you know, in a book,
mm-hmm.
but you're choosing to let your eyes wander past it and go to the next page.
Okay.
It's like, I don't want to know.
It's
going to go.
I know.
Okay.
I love that.
But you know, page 58, whatever, the answer's right there. Even though you're continuously going through this book and something seems like it's missing, but you don't want to go back to page 58 and look, even though you know it's there. The truth is right there.
Because you have to submit. You have to be obedient.
Right. I've learned now, and through a lot of other experiences in spiritual warfare, is that the devil counts on your weakness. He counts on your inability to want to do the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he waits for that weak moment and he will just knock the legs out from the chair you're sitting on. So for things like this, it was like not even realizing that the devil was just trying to keep me from having a more holy life by tempting me with the desires of the world.
Yeah.
And when you get close to having that more holy life, he tempts you even further. He tempts you even more and more and more because he doesn't want you to get anywhere close to that.
Yeah.
And it happens even when we're in prayer, especially me.
Mm-hmm.
My mind goes in places, just has nothing to do with God. And it's because he knows that when we pray, we are getting close to him. So he will infect us any way he possibly can to distract us. And that's what that whole experience was with the vasectomy and the reversal, was getting to, I had to get to a place where I literally had to, like, big Sarge talk myself up.
Yeah.
And stop being such a little
baby.
A little baby. Well, I didn't say baby.
I know.
And I had to man up about it.
Yeah.
Because before I was just letting the devil say, hey, turn my head this way, but look at all this over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it completely distracts you. And he only does that whenever we get close to thinking about doing the right thing.
Right. And we can't tell.
And then we get scared.
Yeah.
We get afraid. We're not really scared, though. That's the thing. And there's nothing to really be scared about, especially if you fully and earnestly submit yourself to trusting Jesus and what happens with us.
Yeah.
So like you say, you're worried about what would happen down here or something went wrong. Well, I was worried about that too, but at the same time, as I was telling myself to constantly man up, I was just like, trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Trust Christ. He's going to see you through this. If it doesn't work out, then, well, it never was meant to be, or that's your punishment for doing it in the first place. I'm just going to have to accept whatever comes from here.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to allow myself to be scared.
You talking about Satan turning us towards the world and being like, but look at all the things you might lose. Because I think when people think about even becoming Catholic, they go to that place of like, I don't want to lose all this stuff. But what they don't understand is that on the other side, in right order with God, is so much more than you could ever expect.
Yeah.
And so like, we didn't expect our intimacy to go to the level it has. I just wanted you to fix yourself so we could have a baby. And yet it's a year and a half later, we don't have a baby, but we have a much better intimacy with each other.
Way better.
And it's a fruit we just would never have expected and known about.
Yeah. And for any guys listening to this, that is one of the larger benefits, is the change in the intimacy, because your wife now looks at you differently.
Yeah.
Because I know you did.
Yeah.
I could tell. Just tell without even saying it. Your wife will look at you differently. She'll look at you more as a man, a complete whole man, a man that's really willing to do anything.
Yeah.
Even just have a child willy-nilly. you know?
Yeah.
And just, that's okay, because I'm the man, and I'm going to take care of it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure that everything's good and that we're set. And because that's my job, that's my ordered role. And then for yourself, you're going to feel more like a man again.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel like a little boy that's just trying to get his jollies off whenever he feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that wasn't entirely how our intimate life was.
No.
I know that. It's just when I look back, that was one thing that I saw within myself. That's all.
Yeah. I understand.
And that bothered me. So.
Yeah.
But now it's completely different.
It's completely different.
As far as I was going to say this when we were talking a minute ago, was the fear part.
Yeah.
Devil will scare us with all the worldly stuff or try to tempt us. Well, either way, it's a temptation.
Yeah.
And the financial thing. People often say, well, it's the finance thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we know like 3 families with like 7 plus kids.
Yeah. Now because I have that social media presence, I know a lot of people with a lot of kids. Yeah. They're surviving.
They're surviving and they're not making a lot of money.
Yeah. Some of them aren't, no.
And one of them stay-at-home mom, isn't she?
They're all stay-at-home moms.
Yeah, they're all stay-at-home moms and, you know, regular blue-collar jobs.
Yeah.
Working for, you know, a big box store or something.
They're not going on fancy vacations or have new cars, but...
They're making it and they have wonderful children.
Yeah.
So if it's a financial thing, then you're going to have to look at your finances, especially the men. You guys need to look at what is the issue with your finances? Is it because you're not going to have the goal of getting another car or keeping up with the lifestyle that you have and all the goodies that come with that financial lifestyle?
Yeah.
Are you really going to choose that over bringing more life and potentially more holy Catholics into the world?
Right.
You're going to choose that over what God's design is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what it comes down to.
Okay.
And I get it. It's scary. Why should I talk? We only have 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just look at these other people. I'm like, if they can do it, if this guy can do it.
Yeah.
I can freaking do it.
Yeah.
Though, yeah, I don't want to have kids running around screaming and sticky stuff in the carpets and, you know, and stuff like that. But I would rather be right with God and have that.
Yeah.
Than be wrong with God and have all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So does that. All right. So I come across this all the time in the military.
Yeah.
It's guys get vasectomies all the time.
I know.
Because it's
free.
Paid for.
Yep.
Okay. And each so one of them, sad. I mean, it's like a club. You want to be part of the club.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they all joke about, you know, what happens and stuff like that. And they talk about all the worldly stuff that's attractive to having it done.
Uh-huh.
But not a single one of them wants to really face what they're losing.
Yeah.
And so every time, because I was that way, because that was me.
Okay.
I was attracted to all the pleasures of having it done and no responsibility that would come from intimacy ever again. And it's just whenever, right? Now I see myself and those other people's faces when we're all, you know, sitting around smoking and joking and they're talking about, you know, going to go have it done.
That's really sad.
I was like, you sure you want to do it? And it's just like, yeah, I have to. And they bring up the finances. They bring up the medical possibility of there being a problem. It seems like there's a lot of doctors out there telling women that you really shouldn't get pregnant again.
Right. Well, we live in an abortion-centered atheist culture, so.
Yeah. And I don't know why. I'm not them people. I can't look into their medical records and determine, so I'm not going to even judge, but like, okay, all right. I understand. I'll tell them. I understand. I had the same fears too, because both my children were premature.
Right.
And it seemed like there was a pattern with the second one.
It was way earlier than the first one.
Yeah. Beginning of a pattern here.
Yeah.
And after that whole experience with Neil and the NICU, it was pretty awful. I'll try to connect with them on that way, but I never try to miss an opportunity to let them know how I felt once I had it put back.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what I was missing from intimacy and stuff like that. It's not worth it at all to put yourself in a position to have to answer to God why you chose the world over His design and plan for you. because you literally took his creation and you altered it for your own needs and pleasures. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And me being living proof and knowing how it feels to have it there and take and then alter it myself and then put it right back.
Yeah.
I now know what it was I was missing. I didn't see it until it was put back.
Yeah.
So don't be scared about having more children. And if you've had a vasectomy and you want to get it redone and you're thinking about getting it redone and you're scared about the procedure, don't be scared. Because you already had somebody in there in the first place, snipping it away and carterizing it. You might as well have somebody go back in and put it back together. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
All right. It's just a little bit more bruising. It just takes a little bit longer to heal.
Yeah.
Most of us have all been kicked in the nuts before, had a baseball or a basketball hit us in the goo-goo. Okay. Yeah,
okay. It's kind of like in that video, Unprotected. It talks about how, like, I love everything about you, but your fertility. And that's what birth control and sterilization does. It's like, I love everything about you, but your fertility that God put there.
Yeah, you know, and that's something. When you came off of birth control, like 100%, and never touched it again.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's the other thing.
I even looked at you differently. It's just an amazing.
That's interesting.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
That we don't even know what is happening.
Yeah. It's, don't use birth control. This stuff's terrible for you. And so is a vasectomy. All right. So Ryan, thank you so much for being here and talking about it and being open and honest about it. I feel like even if we never are blessed with more children, having our story out there for other people to hear and giving them these messages, because we have such a unique perspective because we have done it all wrong and then try to right it. And so I really appreciate you being here talking about it. Where can people find you?
They can go to the search bar there on YouTube and just type in Reclaiming the Sword.
Yeah.
And I think I'm probably just a couple of rolls
usually
down.
You're on the front. So Ryan
usually
has
usually on the front or just a couple scrolls down. It doesn't take long. Or your website.
Yeah. Do I have it? Yeah, I think
you better have it on your website.
I don't know if I have it on my website.
You better be promoting me.
I might be. Talk about it on my Instagram. Anyway, so Ryan has a YouTube channel, for those of you who don't know, and it's just kind of getting off the ground still, but there's some really good content on there. So be sure you check it out. It'll be linked down below.
Yeah, it's mostly dedicated to Catholic men and our own spiritual battles.
Yeah.
Really.
So that you guys continue to know, love, and serve God. If you have questions for us, you can definitely email us. You can email me at whatlorelikeschannel@gmail.com or Ryan at reclaimingthesword21.
Reclaimingthesword21@gmail.com.
At gmail.com. With that, we'll talk to you guys again soon. Bye. You have to say bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the What Laura Likes podcast. Like I said, if you need to talk further, please email us. We really do want to help other Catholic couples not make the same mistake we did, or right the wrong that has already been done. I also want to tell you about the What Laura Likes community, a place for Catholic wives and mothers to come together to walk this vocation well, supporting each other and providing fellowship. It has been such a beautiful venture, and I really hope you will check it out. You can learn more at community.whatlauralikes.com. This podcast is also a YouTube video. If you want to watch Ryan and I interact with each other on camera, you can head to my YouTube channel, What Laura Likes. I have been doing YouTube for over 4 years now, so there is a lot of content there and something that I know will help you grow deeper in your faith, so be sure to check out the other videos as well. And finally, you can find out more about me at whatlauralikes.com. Always feel free to email me about this vocation of ours. Being a Catholic woman today can be tricky, but it's an incredibly beautiful pilgrimage when we surrender to God's loving will. Pax Christi!